Sorry, I still my wife. Hayes. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Wait a minute. We have a Mufasa moment in the church. On Pride, was it Pride Rock? Is that the name of it? I told Jacoby we prayed over Hayes this morning. Jacoby and Lindsay came up, but this is Hayes Jance Calloway. So y'all, yeah, stand up and show him off. This is his first time to church. He is a handsome little guy, and he's a good mix of mommy and daddy. I see Jacoby, but I also see Lindsay, too. Yeah, yeah, and grandpa, yeah, and grandpa and grandma, yeah. Oh, I love it. All right, so we're in this series called Identity. You can see it up here, and if you want, I know it. I go quickly through all these notes, and I can email these to you. I've been emailing to several people in the church already. So if you just want to sit and listen, you can do that. But what I've been doing is going through a book called The Road Back to You. It's an Enneagram journey, and I'll explain that here in just a second, to self-discovery. If you haven't been here, that's okay, because I can catch you up to speed. I've been doing this every Sunday now. In this Enneagram, I'm a 9 and a 2. There's 9 personalities. A 9 is a peacemaker and a 2 is a helper, and we're talking about the 2s today. Jada is also a 9 and a 2. So I told her, I said, what is that saying? And Jada looked at me, we were talking about this the other day, and she looked at me, she said, well, we've been married for 28 years, that means the 2 have become 1. So I like that answer. So we're both 9s and 2s. That means those two on the Enneagram were at the highest point. And the reason we've been in this study is because this has really helped me as I've been studying this to know who I am in Christ, but also to know who people I interact with are in Christ as well, and to help understand them. This teaching has its roots in the Catholic Church, is where this Enneagram came from, and then people have used it, and it's being used even now in the Vatican Church. It's also in the Roman Catholic Church, but it's also being used. Companies are picking this up and using it. Companies and organizations like Motorola, the Oakland A's baseball team, the CIA, clergy from the Vatican, among many others, in fact, have used it to help their people find more joy in their work. Even Stanford University and Georgetown University's business schools have included it in their curriculums, and many Fortune 500 companies are using it. In fact, I even met somebody last night. It's actually my daughter's mother-in-law is Marquita Page from Weatherford, and she just got on a new job. It's a ministry job that she said they're taking her through the Enneagram to figure out who she is so they know how to plug her into their ministry and where she'll fit in at. And so it's a really neat deal, and I love it because I hear everybody talking about it around, you know, in their marriages. And Clark told me he's taken the test 3 times and he's still a 1. And it amazes me how it's so accurate about capturing who you are. And I can't go in, and I just want to encourage you, and I told Jade I was going to tell everybody this, even though we're studying each one at a time, whatever your number is, go to that and really research it out and study it out, because it'll really help you in life, I promise you. It'll help you in your marriage, it'll help you in your work life, it'll help you in your family life, in all kinds of relationships. And kind of our theme scripture that we've used this whole time during this study is Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, and it says, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? This was a question asked of Jesus. And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And so we kind of broke this down to show you that what Jesus said, that those three things that we have to do, number one is love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we forget about that. So actually, number two is to love yourself and then love your neighbor. You need to learn how to love yourself before you can love anybody else. And here's, as we get into this, because, and I've said this every Sunday, is you're going to learn the good, the bad, and the ugly about your identity and your personality. But here, I want you always to keep this approach. Always maintain a compassionate stance towards yourself as God does. Self-contempt will never produce lasting healing change in our lives, only love. God wants you to love yourself. Amen, and how he created you. And he wants you to be the best version of you. And so we'll go real quickly through the nine personality types that are on the Enneagram. That's what Ennea means, is nine, and the gram is a graph. And I'll show that graph here in just a little bit. But the number ones are the perfectionists and the reformers. We've already talked about those. They're the ethical, dedicated, and reliable. They're motivated by a desire to live the right way, improve the world, and avoid fault and blame. By the way, Jennifer Hawkins, I'm looking back there, she's a one. And all day, air day. And but she was telling me this morning that she has got invited back to the Capitol and the senator and all this. I'm telling you guys, and that if you was here, that was a prophecy that's been spoken over her that's coming to pass. And so I'm pretty excited for her, that she's using her one in the right way and helping our government, our state government, understand some things. Of some way to help people. Amen. Okay, number two is the helper. These people, and that's what we're going to cover today, are the warm, caring, and giving. They're motivated by a need to be loved and needed and to avoid acknowledging their own needs. Okay, we're talking about Patricia today, all right? And where is Patricia? Because Patricia's a six and a two. She's in the back helping, all right? I told her, I already got her permission, Micah, and Micah told me some things about her here last week too. But I said, Patricia, can I have your permission to throw you underneath the bus this week? And she said, yeah. And I said, now I'm going to put you back under so far, you're going to be underneath the back axles of this bus. She said, yeah, that's fine. So I've got permission. I'm going to talk about Patricia. Patricia's a helper. She was when she took the test, she was a six and a two, and they were right there together. And so you're going to learn a lot about Patricia as well. And I learned a lot about myself because I'm a nine and a two as well. But and then number three is the performer and the achiever. We haven't talked about them yet, but that's the success-oriented, image-conscious, and wired for productivity. They're motivated by need to be or appear to be successful and avoid failure. Number four are the romantic or the individualist, creative, sensitive, and moody. They're motivated by a need to be understood, experience their oversized feelings, and avoid being ordinary. And then number five is the investigators. These people are analytical, detached, and private, and they are motivated by a need to gain knowledge, conserve energy, and avoid relying on others. The sixes, this is the other thing that Patricia is, the loyalist, and we haven't studied that yet, but is committed, practical, and witty. They're the worst-case scenario thinkers who are motivated by fear and the need for security. Then number seven is the enthusiast. That's the fun, spontaneous, and adventurous. I found out that Mark Ward and my dad are both the enthusiasts. They don't know what they're doing, but they're going to have fun doing it. Yes. They're motivated by a need to be happy, to plan stimulating experiences and avoid pain. Number eights are the challengers. They're commanding, intense, and confrontational. They're motivated by a need to be strong and avoid feeling weak or vulnerable. That was Coach Toon over here today. He's the challenger. And then number nine is the peacemakers. They're pleasant, laid back, and accommodating. They're motivated by a need to keep the peace, merge with others, and avoid conflict. So that's kind of the rundown of the nine personalities. Then they split them up, and this is how we've been going through each one. They split them up into triads. And so there was the gut triad that we just went through, the eight, nines, and the ones. These numbers are driven by anger. The eight externalizes it, nine forgets it, and one internalizes it. They take in and respond to life instinctually or at the gut level, and they tend to express themselves honestly and directly. Then the feeling or the heart triads, and this is where we're studying today, are the twos, the threes, and the fours. These numbers are driven by feelings. Twos focus outwardly on the feelings of others. Threes have trouble recognizing their own or other people's feelings, and fours concentrate their attention inwardly on their own feelings. They each take in and relate to life from their heart and are more image conscious than other numbers. This triad works hard externally to gain their worth. That's another thing to know about that triad. And then the last triad is the fear or the head triad. That's the fives, the six, and the sevens. These numbers are driven by fear. Five externalizes it, six internalizes it, and seven forgets it. They take in and relate to the world through the mind. They tend to think and plan carefully before they act. So that's the fear triad. So there are times, guys, that when your personality is in a healthy space, there's going to be times when it's in an okay space, and there's going to be times when it's in downright nuts and crazy. And so I'm hoping this teaching is going to help you figure that out, when you're healthy, when you're okay, and when you need to make some changes and corrections because you're downright nuts and crazy at the moment. And so, and there's good, the bad, and the ugly to every personality. Each personality can be a jerk, okay? So there's not one personality over the other one. Everybody can be a jerk. You will learn your wing, your stress, and security numbers, and that's what we want to do is cast the jerk out of us and get Jesus in us, amen? And so what we have to realize, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And I love how Richard Rohr, who is a teacher of the Enneagram, how he defines sin. He said, "Sins are fixations that prevent the energy of life, which is God's love, from flowing freely. They're self-erected blockades that cut us off from God and hence from our own authentic potential." And so you're gonna learn the bad about your personality so you can cut that off and be your true self. And so I love this slide here. "The true purpose of the Enneagram is to reveal to you your shadow side and offer spiritual counsel on how to open it to the transformative light of God's grace, when we must partner with the Holy Spirit to be the best us." And so Galatians 5:22 verses 22 through 23 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Every personality needs the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We all need the Holy Spirit. We need to partner with the Holy Spirit, whatever our personality is. Now I'm going to give you the deadly sin for each personality. Ones, we found out that anger is your deadly sin. Ones feel a compulsive need to perfect the world, keenly aware that neither they nor anyone else can live up to their impossibly high standards. They experience anger in the form of smoldering resentment. Number twos is what we're talking about today. It's kind of ironic that twos, their deadly sin is pride. Twos direct all their attention and energy toward meeting the needs of others while disavowing having any of their own. Their secret belief that they alone know what is best for others and that they're indispensable reveals their prideful spirit. They think that they can't be replaced. Okay, number threes is deceit. Threes value appearance over substance, abandoning their true selves to project a false, crowd-pleasing image. Threes buy their own performance and deceive themselves into believing they are their own persona. And then number fours, their envy. Fours believe they are missing something essential without which they will never be complete. They envy what they perceive to be the wholeness and happiness of others. Fives is greed. Fives hoard those things they believe will ensure that they can live an independent, self-sustaining existence. This withholding ultimately leads to their holding back love and affection from others. Then there's sixes, the fear. Forever imagining worst-case scenarios and questioning their ability to handle life on their own, sixes turn to authority figures and belief systems rather than God to provide them with the support and security that they yearn for. Sevens is gluttony. To avoid painful feelings, sevens gorge themselves on positive experiences, planning and anticipating new adventures, and entertaining interesting ideas. Never satisfied, the seven's frenzy pursuit of these distractions eventually escalates to the point of gluttony. Eights is lust. Eights lust after intensity. It can be seen in their excessiveness. They evidence in every areas of life, domineering and confrontational. Eights present a hard, intimidating exterior to mask vulnerability. And then the nines, the sloth. I am sloth man. For nines, sloth refers not to physical but to spiritual laziness. Nines fall asleep to their own priorities, personal development, and responsibility for becoming their own person. Now I'm going to throw up here the Enneagram. That's what the Enneagram looks like with every nine personalities around it, your identity around it. And so we're talking about twos today, which are the helpers. And I want you to notice where the lines go. They go up there to the top, to challenger, to the eights, or down to the bottom, to the number four, which is the romantic or the individualist. And so, and then their wing numbers are the one and the three. And so we're going to look at twos with a one wing, and we're going to read a scripture here in a little bit that'll show you this. This is Martha in Luke chapter 10, and they are concerned about doing things properly. Martha, last week I talked about her being a one, but she's actually a two with a one wing. She's a helper with a one wing. Twos with a three wing, They are more ambitious, image conscious, and competitive. Twos in stress go to an unhealthy eight. They become demanding and controlling, either directly or manipulatively. They blame others for what makes them unhappy and can be surprisingly aggressive and vengeful about past wrongs. Excuse me. Twos in security go to a healthy four, where they're okay with not pretending they love everybody. They understand their need for self-care. They understand boundaries are a blessing. Everything is not a fire needing their attention. And saying no is a nice word and a complete sentence. And everybody said amen to that. I need to get a drink. Sorry about that. Okay. Here are the top 10 statements of a helper. Y'all ready for this? Number one, when it comes to taking care of others, I don't know how or when to say no. I just want you to get the picture of Patricia when you see this, okay? We're helping Patricia out. Patricia's back there. Patricia, I told you I was going to throw you under the bus. Number two, I'm a great listener, and I remember the stories that make up people's lives. Number three, I am anxious to overcome misunderstandings in a relationship. Even people I don't know well share deep stuff about their lives with me. Number five, I need to be acknowledged and appreciated for my contributions. Number six, I am more comfortable giving than receiving. Number seven, I care a great deal about what people think of me. Number eight, when people ask me what I need, I have no idea how to answer. Number nine, I worry a lot about being forgiven when I'm making mistakes. And number 10, when I am tired, I often feel like people take me for granted. Does that sound like a two or a helper? Does that sound like you, Patricia? Jade is like, Mark, don't be doing that. All right, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And so that's Martha being the two. And then I'll go on and read verses 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So Martha was caught up with a lot of serving. So here's what we're going to learn. We're going to learn about helpers today, the number twos. Twos are people who see the world through relationships and define themselves through service to others. They're caring, warm, empathetic, thoughtful, appreciative, generous, and others-oriented. Twos, we need more twos, amen? We need lots of twos. We need lots of helpers. And thank God for the helpers that we have here at Harvest Fellowship Church, and thank God for Patricia. She does a lot around here. And here's more about twos. At their best, twos are warm, loving, compassionate, adaptable, nurturing, generous, supportive, hospitable, and tuned into how people feel. At their worst, twos are intrusive, which means that they can come across as being nosy or a busybody, but they're actually not being nosy or busybody. They actually, they're doing that because they really want to help people. And so you kind of got to read through that sometimes. They're martyr-like, like Martha was. I'm the only one serving. You know, God, you know, tell Mary to do something. Resentful, indirect, manipulative, possessive, flatter, needy, overly accommodating, and codependent, which means, and this is at their worst, codependent means that you have the need to be needed. That's what codependency means. Their core need, this is your core need as a two, is to be needed. And we all need to be needed. We all want acceptance. But here's what happens with twos. Twos rarely ask for help, at least not directly, and they don't know how to receive it when it's offered. Okay? And Patricia's back there shaking her head. This is where I'm going to say something. Our secretary here at the church is a two. When you see that things need to be done and she needs help, just help her. Okay, because she's not going to ask you. All right, that's a helper. They don't want to burden anybody else. They're not going to ask. So jump in and help. We all need to help. And I don't care what number you are, what your personality is. Everybody can help. So please don't come up to me afterwards. Well, I'm a one. I'm not a helper. So I'm done. Carrie's a one. She's back here. I'm done serving in the sound booth. I'm done helping in the sound booth. Please don't do that to me today. Let's go back here. Yeah, their core need is to be needed. Their core sin is pride. And this, you wouldn't think this with a helper, with the twos, but twos are the most sensitive to criticism. They need to be needed. They relish in the myth that they can't be replaced. Okay? That's what's going on in a twos world. And I love this. And I told Patricia I was going to talk about her today, and she gave me the green light. But there's times when I'll text Patricia, and I'll just text her about something to do, right, that needs to be done around the church or something. I'll text it to her, and she'll text me back, "Are you mad, bro?" I was like, "No, I'm just texting you something to do." And because they're sensitive, she's sensitive to criticism. All of us are, but a two, it's more heightened in a two, all right? Their core fear is being unloved and unwanted for being purely themselves. This is a two's favorite scripture, Matthew 20, verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So that's their favorite scripture, and that's their core fear of being unloved and unwanted for being purely themselves. Here's twos as children, so I want to help out. I've kind of developed an outline for each personality because I want to help you. I'm trying to hit the highlights of every personality, but also want to help people here because you may be here today and you're like, "This don't pertain to me." Yes, it does. You're going to learn how to interact with the two, but you also may have a two as a child or a two, you know, around you. So twos as children, they compulsively want to please everyone. They will get their people pleasers. They will give away their toy or lunch to be accepted. If you have a child doing that, giving their toys away or giving their lunch away to be accepted, you probably got a two on your hands. They are sensitive and wear their hearts on their sleeve. They will be the first to help the coach to put away equipment and the teacher pass out supplies to the class. That's a two. Here's a wounding message for a two, because I know I'm looking over here at Grace. She's a two. She couldn't wait for today to learn about herself. But here's a wounding message for a two. Having or expressing their own needs will lead to humiliation and rejection. It's not okay to have your own needs. That's a wounding message for a two, okay? So, Grace, you have your own needs. I know you have two brothers that are older than you, but you have your own needs. So you tell them what your needs are, all right? Tell your mom and dad. See, that's the things that happen, the dynamics in a family, and especially when they're a helper. I'm going to use this, Grace, as an example. This morning she came in here, and she was tied for first in a competition for gymnastics, and she missed. They have to go to this scoring deal where she missed being number one by 0.05 of a point, okay? And here's as a helper, she was like, "It's okay." This came out of her mouth. I didn't say this. She was back there, and she goes, "It's okay. She was 17. She was older. She can have it." She goes, "My day will come." That's how a helper thinks. She's helping her win 0.05 of a point. If you're an eight, you're ticked off. If you're an eight, you're probably going and talking to the judges, right? But as a two, and as a one, mom's ticked off because this ain't right. This is all subjective, this scoring. That's what mom even said because she's a one. And Grace is over here as the little helper that she is. It's okay. She's 17. She's older. She's got her time. My time's coming. That's awesome. To know that at that age, that's pretty awesome. That's a healthy response from a two. All right. Parenting a two. If you have a two that you're parenting, compliment them when they do something kind. Help them create a daily routine that includes self-care. For a child, that means making sure there is a time to play. Please pay attention to your child's body language to see what is going on in their heart and do your best to make sure they feel loved for being who they are. That's parenting a two, a helper. All right, here's number twos in a relationship. Twos in a relationship. This is a big one. Relationships mean everything to them. They're the most interpersonal on the Enneagram. They're the most relational on the Enneagram. They feel things deeply, and it's easy for them to express emotions. And I want you to, and I know a lot of guys, when I was studying this, I was like, my gosh, you know, I'm a two. I'm up there, but this don't sound like a guy. It sounds more like the gender role would be a woman in this helper because when you go to the Word of God, God created woman to be a helpmate, right? But I want to let you know there's just as many men that are twos as women. All right? It's not a, and that goes for every personality on the Enneagram. And here's an illustration for twos in a relationship, just to understand how a two thinks. I'm going to use different names. I know I've been picking a lot on some of the twos that are in here today, but here's how a two would respond for a guy. Hi, I'm Amy's husband. Okay, that he doesn't tell you who he is. He tells you I'm Amy's. Amy's my wife, and I'm her husband. Or I'm Jack's mother. You know they're always playing second fiddle to whatever is going on. And what happens is for a two that's unhealthy and going through life and doing that all the time, and maybe they have a spouse and they have children, and what happens is later in life they wake up to this, they go, I can't go on giving like this and this much. I need to take better care of myself. And so here's what I want to tell all the twos in the house, because I know we have some young twos, we have some older twos in here. I encourage you to be your own person and to care for yourselves appropriately. Take care of yourself, because a two will not do the self-care that they need. All right, here's twos at work. Twos often play second in command, but this doesn't feel demeaning to them at all. They know sergeants run armies, not generals, so they're happy to be the power behind the throne. I'll tell you who gets things done around the church here is Patricia. Amen. And I love this. I'm going to read this out of the book. One of the guys, he was capturing the essence of a two, and this was Miss Parker. It says, when I was in elementary school, the principal's secretary was a kind, energetic, and warm-hearted woman named Miss Parker. Miss Parker sat in the main office where she answered the endless stream of phone calls, calmed over-caffeinated irate mothers, let us take fistfuls of M&Ms from a bowl on her desk when we received good test grades, made sure the students with peanut allergies brought their EpiPens to school, encouraged frazzled teachers, and at 3 p.m. put on an orange vest and monitored after-school pickup. If you needed love, lunch money, or an emergency organ transplant at my elementary school, you went to Miss Parker. I'm sure the principal was a good guy, but I don't even remember his name because Miss Parker ran the school. And that's a two for you right there. And I was trying to think in my life, I've been around, you know, Patricia's a two here at our church. Jade and I both are twos. I mean, that's part of our personalities. There was a guy, I know this coming off this last weekend, y'all got to hear Pastor Jimmy Evans speak and Pastor Robert Morris. I love to hear them guys speak. They're great communicators of the gospel, great teachers of God's word. But if I had both of them here today, they would tell you who runs their churches. And who ran their churches is a guy by the name of Pastor Tom Lane. And he was second in command at Trinity Fellowship in Amarillo, Texas. And everybody loved Tom Lane. He's like a coach. And he did all the meetings, meeting with people, ran the church, did everything. But Pastor Jimmy Evans was the one that, you know, stood in the pulpit and preached on Sunday mornings. So this guy was behind the scenes. He's a two. He's a two off the charts. He does everything around the church. And this is so interesting, but whenever Pastor Robert Morris, when they planted their church at South Lake, Texas in Gateway, he came to Jimmy and he said, Jimmy, I want to hire somebody off of your staff. Right off the bat when they started the church, and he said, who? And he said, I want to hire Tom Lane. He said, no, you can't. And I guess they fought over it for a long time, and finally Robert got to hire Tom, and now Tom has moved to South Lake, Texas, and he's like the senior pastor of the church, taking care of all the daily operations of the church behind the scenes. But you see Robert doing the speaking, and I love Pastor Tom Lane. The first time I met Pastor Tom Lane was he has a deal where he does his quiet times at McDonald's. There in South Lake, but I met him at Trinity Fellowship. No, it was in South Lake when he had a quiet time at McDonald's. And I think, Mark, you may have been with. We went into McDonald's and he came over and greeted us. He's just a very warm, compassionate guy. You know, he's like a coach, and he's a two. I'll tell you another one in Scripture that you can look up later, but Joseph in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, he's a two. When you see him, he's always second in command, but in Potiphar's house, he's the helper in Potiphar's house, and he's second in command to Potiphar. And when he got thrown into prison, he became second in command to the prison warden. And then all of a sudden, he went to second in command in the palace in Egypt during that day. And so Joseph is a good example in the Old Testament of a helper, a number two. All right, here's the spiritual transformation for a two, for all of us twos. And I've had to learn this myself because I'm up there with nine as a two. And I've even had to try to help Patricia do this as well. When the urge to fix, rescue, or help overwhelms you, ask yourself, is this mine to do? If you're not sure, talk it over with a trusted friend. Remember, no is a nice word and it's a complete sentence. Just say no. Look at a two and say, just say no. Just say no. And so, and when a two hears that, they think, God, that's rude. Just say no. That's just so rude. Well, here's another way to say it for you twos. Focus your yes then. Focus your yes. Because you're saying yes to a whole lot of things. You need to focus your yes. Remember, everything is not a fire that you need to put out, and boundaries are a blessing. Learn to be you and to rest, and it takes time to develop self-care muscles when you are a two. And you need to develop those self-care muscles. Here's Jesus' message to a two. Jesus' message to twos is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Twos need to learn how to rest. Twos go too much, serve too much, help too much, and at their own risk, and you know, they put themselves. I see Brooke is laughing over here big time. Is this describing you, Brooke? Brooke's a two, isn't she? Yeah. I see them over there gouging each other. But that's your message to a two, is you need to slow down and have a day off and rest. It's okay to do that. Mark 6, verse 31, here's another scripture of Jesus' message to twos. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Twos won't eat because they're all the time running around helping and serving and doing things. And Jesus was telling them, hey, guys, I'm a helper too, you know, but I came to serve, but we have got to get away by ourselves and get away from all these people for a while. We've been peopled today, and we need to rest. And we need to, you know, get our tanks filled back up because it says there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. Matthew 9, verses 37 through 38, and I'm going to read that out of my Bible today. This was the scripture that God called Jade and I into ministry with, and this is Matthew, and little did I know he was speaking to one of our personalities, but Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Another word for labor is helper. And that's where we also got the name of our church, Harvest Fellowship Church. I want to say this to every person in here, no matter what your number is on the Enneagram is, we need help. Amen. Everybody, when everybody's pulling their weight and everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, guys, we can accomplish a lot for the kingdom of God. Amen. All right. Here's how you love a helper. This is how we love our helpers. Thank them for serving and tell them it's okay to rest. Remind them they are loved and wanted for themselves only. The message their heart longs to hear is you are wanted and loved. Have them declare that they have needs too, and that's okay. And have them name one thing that you can do for them and then do it for them. And everybody said, amen. Amen. That's how you love a helper. And I'm going to go ahead and put this slide up here, and we're going to close out with this. But that's where you can take the test, that yourenneagramcoach.com. It's free, and you can find out what your personality is. I just want you to remember that this is a tool not to define you with a label, but rather to make you more aware of why you do the things you do. Don't go around and go, oh, you're just such a one. Okay, don't be doing that, all right, or you're such a nine. We're not doing that to put labels on one another. Here's a book recommendation. This is for everybody, but especially for twos. I had bought this book for Patricia one time because I'd read it, because I'm a two as well. It's called Boundaries, When to Say Yes and How to Say No to Take Control of Your Life. And it's by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. It's a great book. You need to learn how to put good, healthy boundaries upon your life. And everybody said amen. Did everybody learn something today? All right, if you haven't taken that test, please take it and send me a message. You know, if you have my cell phone number, send me a text or on social media and let me know what your number is on the Enneagram. I love doing that. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I do this every Sunday just to make sure that you know who the Lord is. And this is a prayer of salvation, because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you to repeat this prayer to me. And even if you do know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer to me as well. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, next Sunday we can baptize you up here in our holy hot tub. We have a heated baptistry. If you haven't ever followed the Lord in water baptism, that's your next step of obedience to do that. So I encourage you to do that. And Jada, will you come up here with me? Because we're going to, my helper, we're going to speak a blessing over you guys. So I want everybody to stand up in here, and we're going to speak a blessing over you this morning. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a blessed week.